Welcome to Walking Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 15 called The Rejection and Revenge of Samson.
All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our Wednesday night. We're glad you're here. We're continuing in the book of Judges. We're going to be in Judges chapter 15 tonight. We're doing a part two on the life of Samson. I would like you to find Judges 15, and also I'm going to turn us to Isaiah 49. And maybe, Rhino, if you can do me a favor and have that ready to put up on the screen, that would be awesome. Isaiah 49 will be the second passage that we'll turn to. All right, the rejection and revenge of Samson is the story tonight, the account before us. So let's take a look at verse 1 together, and then we'll pray. After a while, in the time of wheat harvest, Judges 15:1, Samson visited his wife. You might put his wife in quotes. With a young goat, and said, I will go into my wife in her room. But her father did not let him enter. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the life of Samson. It is, last week we called the message the riddle of Samson, because he told a riddle in the chapter, but his life was a bit of a riddle. It's a little bit hard to figure out Samson, because he was set apart from his mother's womb with a Nazarite vow, and yet he seemed to almost try to get out of that vow regularly, as we saw last time. And he'll do something in this chapter that will continue to lead us in that direction. And yet, he is a savior figure. He's a type of Christ, which seems almost strange because of his decision-making and his life, and we'll clarify that hopefully tonight. But our prayer, most of all, is that as the Word of God is taught, as we divide the Word, we pray accurately and make the application that we would have ears to hear what you would say to us in this moment, in this hour. How would you have your church respond to Old Testament Scripture? We know we can learn from these examples. We know Samson's mentioned in Hebrews 11, his faith. We know we have stuff to learn from every Old and New Testament character. The Holy Spirit inspired the entire Scripture for our good, our profit. And we know we're going to profit tonight simply if we're good soil. So help us tune in, listen to your word, your voice, and respond in a way that pleases you, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. If you agree, would you say, amen, amen. So you can see we have a time marker here in Judges 15:1. After a while. Now, that's a little bit generic, but if you go back just to the previous couple of verses in chapter 14, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord, 14:19 of Judges, came upon Samson mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon, one of the Philistine cities on the coast, killed 30 of them, 30 Philistines, took their spoil, gave the changes of clothes to those who told the riddle. He had shared a riddle. They didn't know what it was about until they pressured his wife-to-be to tell them or tell him. And so then he had to pay off the bet. He made a bet that he thought he couldn't lose 30 changes of high-class clothes, silkwear, or whatever it might be. He lost, and it was only because his wife was pressured into telling the answer. And so his anger burned, and Samson went up to his father's house after killing these 30 men and taking the booty, if you will. And Samson's wife, here's the tragedy, was given to his companion. Some say that could be rendered his best man who had been his friend. So that's the close of chapter 14. And then the time marker, after a little while, in the time of the wheat harvest. Now, the time of the wheat harvest is interesting because that's the time of the Feast of Pentecost. And you had three major feasts in Israel. You had Passover, Pentecost, or Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks and Tabernacles. And basically, it was spring, summer, and fall. Three feasts that mandated all able-bodied males to come to Jerusalem and worship the Lord. And so in the time of the wheat harvest is kind of interesting because Samson was known as a man that the Spirit came mightily upon on several occasions. And we know that in Acts chapter 2, during the feast of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did what? Came mightily on the church and came like a rushing wind and like something like tongues of fire over each of their heads, and they spoke in other languages. It was a miraculous move of the Holy Spirit, and it caused people who were visiting for the feast to ask the question, what's going on with these people? Are they drunk? And Peter responded, no, it's only 9 a.m. And no, this is what the book of Joel talked about. And then he went on to preach an incredible Pentecost sermon. And many of you will recall that there in the book of Acts, 3,000 people came to the Lord and were baptized that day. I want you to remember that number, 3,000, is going to come up in our text tonight. And so it's during the wheat harvest that Samson now comes back to Philistine territory to be with his wife. Here's what was happening. They had a seven-day feast, much like they would have in Israel. And that feast, there's a little bit of different information on when they would consummate the marriage. We talked a little bit about this last time, but it seems like in the Philistine marriage ceremony, it could last up to a week, 7 days, and then the marriage would be consummated on the last day of what would be considered like a reception or a festival, a week-long festival. Well, as that riddle had been kind of sitting out there and there was a little bit of talk and people having a good time and whatever, finally they gave the answer to the riddle. And when Samson left, it appears that he did not consummate the marriage with his wife. And so he went and he killed the Philistines. And now after he cools off, he goes and chills out at mom and dad's house. He comes back thinking, okay, I'm just going to pick up where I left off. But that's not what happens. His wife has been given to another. Now let's pause just for a second here. I want to give you just two images to think about as we dive into the chapter. One, Samson is a type of Christ or a type of the Messiah. That may seem strange to us, but such big guns in church history as Augustine and Luther saw Samson as a type of Christ. What does that mean, a type of Christ? That means that in some ways, Samson's life foreshadowed the Messiah. He had a bit of a miraculous birth. He was set apart from his mother's womb. He had a specific mission. In the case of Samson, it was to deliver the people of Israel from the Philistines, who are, you know, you could say a type of sin and, you know, that which invades the people of God, etc. So that's what Samson is. But last week we talked about how Samson also seemed to regularly be trying to get out of his calling. Amen? We talked about his Nazarite vow and how he was near vineyards and he may have drank wine at this reception, how he killed a lion and then scooped honey out of the lion's carcass, touching a dead body. He was doing things specifically, seemingly without reference to his commitment, to his vow. And maybe there was part of Samson, whose name, by the way, I think you could translate as sunny. It's connected to the sun. Samson somehow seemed to maybe not want that vow. In fact, in the next message ahead of us in chapter 16, when we look at Samson and Delilah, that famous story, Samson will finally give away his secret and she'll cut his hair. And that'll be like the final step of him disavowing his calling. So which is it? Is he a type of Christ or is he running away from his vow? I think he's actually both. Let me show you the Isaiah 49 passage, and I want to just point out how this works. So in Isaiah chapter 49, this is one of the servant songs about the Messiah. And I want you to see how this crosses over into Israel as a chosen nation. Listen to me, Isaiah 49:1, you islands, and pay attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named me. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has concealed me. He has also made me a sharpened arrow. He has hidden me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant, notice, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. But I said, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and futility. Nevertheless, the justice due me is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. And now, says the Lord who formed me from the womb to his servant, to bring Jacob to him so that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the protected ones of Israel? I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder you can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk or maybe you're doing the dishes. Anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God, Pastor Michael and the entire Walk in Truth team is here for you. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple podcast app or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded.
Hey there, are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
He said to me, you are my servant, notice, Israel, in whom I will show my glory. But I said, I've labored in vain. I've spent my strength for nothing and futility. Nevertheless, the justice due me is with the Lord, and my reward is with my God. And now, says the Lord who formed me from the womb to his servant, to bring Jacob to him so that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God is my strength. He says, is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the protected ones of Israel? I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Now, here's what's interesting about this servant song as you turn back to the book of Judges, is that Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations to bring the message of Yahweh to all the nations. Jesus Christ is folded into this servant song because he becomes the perfect Israel. Remember how when we've studied the New Testament, I've shared with you many times that Jesus succeeds where Israel failed, even in his temptation with Satan in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. He resists the temptation by quoting the word of God. He is the ideal Israel, the perfect Israel. Think with me, any human foreshadowing, any type of the Messiah, like Samson or David, would all be less than ideal because they were human and flawed. Now, we might all say, oh, David, I can see easily David as a type of the Messiah to foreshadow the Messiah. Jesus is the greater David. But yet, even David had a fall on his face, and he often did not do things God's way. Although I would say he was pretty consistent in his love for God. And even when he sinned, we know he owned it and finally repented of that sin. Here's my point. There is no ideal human that can fully project what Messiah was to be because Jesus was the God-man and he was without sin. You with me? So I think Samson is a picture of almost one torn. He has the call, but he wrestles with whether or not he actually wants to live it. Sound familiar to any of you? I think Samson, in many ways, is a picture of the nation of Israel who often resisted the call, the privilege to be the chosen of God, to have the oracles of God, to have the temple, to have the patriarchs, etc., and from whom came Messiah. You can look at Romans 9, verse 5. And we as believers would probably have to admit, at least at times in our lives, we have the call, but we don't always want to live up to that call. Maybe you're more consistent than you used to be in your life, but there's times that we kick against it, or it seems maybe it'd be easier just to go back to the old ways or whatever it may be. And I believe that Samson is a type of Christ. I think you can easily argue that, but I think he's also a man that's a little bit torn as to whether or not he really wants to be a Nazarite, whether or not he really wants to live for God. And maybe in a given week for you, you would say, I'm a little bit of both. You know, I love the Lord. I want to do the right thing. But we talked on Sunday about straying sheep, etc. And so here's Samson's life. He's a bit of a walking dilemma. In the book of James, James talks about double-mindedness. And he says a double-minded man is what? He's unstable in all his ways. Why? Because he can't seem to make up his mind what he wants to do, how he wants to live. Remember the people who paint their face right down the middle, one character on this side, one character on that side. One minute they're this person, the next minute they're this person. I think there's a lot of people like that. There's probably a lot of people tonight that are not in a church service like you are, but have a sense that they love the Lord. They might even tell you that they're a Christian, but they're battling so many different things like perhaps a Samson. And maybe they would even admit it's gotten the best of them. So you can see the setting now, and it is the time of the wheat harvest, and there is Samson. And Samson shows up back, you know, where the festival was happening, the wedding feast, and now he's gone, and he's, you know, he's got the 30 pairs of clothing, and he's gone back, and he's like, all right, now I'm going to get on with my married life, which tells you that he loved this woman and he wanted to be with her. And so he shows up, 15:1. After a while, time of the wheat harvest, Samson visited his wife. He's got a young goat. What does that mean? You ever show up on a date with a young goat? That can win you a ton of points with any prospective girl that you want to date. Now, that one scholar says that a young goat is like a modern bouquet of flowers, but it could be connected to the idea of a dowry, because when you married a girl, you would often, there's cultures even today. I did a wedding for a Nigerian couple, and they were telling me that they still do animals as the dowry. They'll give goats and stuff like that, And so you can imagine a Nigerian wedding. It was a lot of people with dark skin and colorful clothing. They wear this incredible clothing. And there was Pastor Michael, right? And I did the wedding, and they took an offering for the bride and groom at the wedding. And they were dancing around the offering, and Pastor Michael started moving a little bit. You know, woo-wee. So they asked me to put on the garb. I put on the hat. I had the colorful gown. I still have it in my closet. And I showed up at the reception, and I walked in. And you want to talk about a duck out of water? Everybody turned when I walked in, and it was me in the garb, and everybody's like, Pastor Michael, yeah! And I was like, yeah! And we had a good time. Anyway, so there's a point to that illustration. There's not always a point to my illustrations, but here there is a point. The young goat, perhaps the dowry. So Samson's like, hey, I want to be with my wife. Let me in. And he is ready to enter into her room or the bridal chamber. And his expectation goes without explanation. He wants to consummate the marriage. And her father said, he didn't let her in. Look at end of one. The father blocked his way. He did not let him enter. And the father said to Samson, I thought you hated her intensely. So I gave her to your companion or your best man. Now, dad watched Samson go off in a huff. He was angry about the riddle being told. And we know what happened. His wife was threatened that she was going to get burned with fire. I mean, she had some motivation, right? So she gave it away. Samson was angry, so he went off in a huff. He did his damage in Ashkelon. He cooled off at his parents' house. How many days went by, I don't know. But he came back with expectation. And the dad basically said, well, I saw you leave, and you were angry, and so she's spoken for. And the implication is that your companion's already been with her. That's signed, sealed, delivered. And you can imagine Samson's got to be pretty upset. His best man. She's been given to another. I want you to think about Israel as a nation. What was Israel's problem, especially in this book of Judges? She keeps giving herself to another. What's the problem often with the church when the churches are addressed in Revelation 2 and 3? You have left your first love. The church is Christ's bride. But what do we do?
You've been listening to The Rejection and Revenge of Samson, Part 1 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges chapter 15. Hey, I wanted to share a great resource with you. Check out the Walk in Truth podcast with Michael Lanz. He teaches straight through the Bible and applies it to today's issues and culture. It's really insightful and encouraging. You'll find Walk in Truth on your podcast app. If you're already listening to the podcast, please click the share button on your phone to spread the word. Now here's Pastor Michael with the final word.
Well, rejection is a bitter pill to swallow. When we feel betrayed or rejected, it can be hard. And then the question is, what do we do when that happens? How do we deal with the feelings of hurt? How do we choose self-control, forgiveness, especially if some of you may feel like God has let you down? I know there's a song that we sang a few years back, "You're Never Going to Let Me Down." And as we would sing that song, I would think about people in the congregation where they had just gone through a disaster or a loss, and it may have been hard for them to sing it. And yes, us praising God even in the midst of the storm is important, but the feeling of being rejected and betrayed is hard. And maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you've been disappointed by fellow Christians, or maybe a spouse cheated on you or left you. And the question you may be wrestling with is, what do I do? Like, how do I find any kind of refuge? You may feel like you're just hanging on by your fingernails. And I think the best thing that you could do is go to your pastor. I hope you have a pastor in a local church, or you're one of the pastors, or go to a Christian friend and just express your heart, get prayer. You've got to try to surround yourself with a community of saints at a time like this. If you press in to God and God's people, I think you'll find there are many people willing to stand with you, but you got to let them know where you're at. We have a number that we often give on the radio, and it's really applicable for Tuesdays through Fridays. So we're not here today to pray with you, but you can call tomorrow about 9 to 4 Pacific time business hours, 844-48-TRUTH. That's 844-48-TRUTH. And we do have pastors that are available to pray with you, hear you out. If you have a question, we will do our best to be there for you. 844-48-TRUTH. That's the number. It's just simply our heart to try to minister to those who may be hurting. If that's you, take advantage of it today. 844-48-TRUTH. This is Pastor Michael. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for part 2 of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 15 called The Rejection and Revenge of Samson.
I probably said that a number of times. After this, I'll quit. Now, you don't have to admit it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but maybe that's in your vocabulary right now. Now, after this, I'll quit. Or when you're all going to start your diet, right? Now, you already blew the new year. We already know it, right? So it's usually Monday, all right? Monday. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're only a burrito away. And so you eat the burrito, you come to work the next day. What happens? It's somebody's birthday. Evan's made cinnamon rolls at the men's breakfast. What are you going to do? You got to eat it. You got to make the sacrifice. It's only right.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lantz and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.